Dear friends, in this weekly study, we have reached the 10th chapter, and we see that Lord is continuing the discussion of understanding and feeling that everything that is seen around is God alone. The repetition in this case is really not a fault, not really a blemish in this book, because repetition is very much needed to make this point get into our heart. The repetition is because of the various different types of doubts, some explicit, some implicit, some conscious, some unconscious. They are covering our that sense of true understanding, and therefore explanation from various angles is required. Again and again, this repetition is required. The Brahma Sutras, they where you see the Vedanta philosophy is systematized, those aphorisms. One of the aphorisms, therefore, says, Avritti Asakrit Upadeshat, that this advice, this these principles are stated in the scriptures again and again for making this knowledge actually shine forth in our life. It is, if there is no much ignorance, if there are no layers and layers of ignorance, only just a little hint is enough. There are many types of students. The teachers are well acquainted with this fact, that although they may be speaking the same thing in the class, and suppose the class has, say, 50 students there, all do not automatically get the same knowledge, same truth, same understanding. The understanding varies a lot. The Vedanta describes that there are four categories. Some understand, some do not understand, some misunderstand, and there are some who understand but do not accept. So these are four categories. And so, for those who clearly understand at one enunciation of the truth, for them repetition is not necessary. For great students like Sri Ramakrishna of our times, the truth was just hinted and that was enough for him. No lengthy discourse was necessary. In fact, the minor hints were just enough for him to make the truth just shine forth. It is said of many great personalities that just one or two sentences were enough for them to see the light of the truth. For others, repetition was required, many, many times repetition was needed, because Sri Ramakrishna gives a very beautiful analogy. He indicated at a lake covered with all that moss, and he said, look, if you push the moss, you see the water underneath. If the winds come and the moss get pushed, you see the water underneath, clear water. But after a minute, again the moss comes and covers the lake, you don't see the water. So it happens with us too when we read the scriptures or get the advice from great souls. Then I also feel, that sage is telling the right thing, he is telling the truth, and feel convinced. Yes, that is the truth. But after some time, the understanding gets covered again. 5 minutes back, I thought, yes, God alone is real, the world is unreal. But after that, the world starts appearing to be more real, God unreal. So the doubts keep on coming. It is therefore necessary for us to bring the illumination in different ways, stronger and stronger dose of this illumination needs to be given. So Lord is again telling Arjuna that look, that everything springs up from me, that I am the source of everything. Everything that you see is sourced in me. The different philosophies, different in the sense that some like a dualistic understanding of this, some qualified non-dualistic, and some completely non-dualistic. It doesn't really make much of a difference. These are more matters for the argumentation for scholars rather than for the spiritual aspirants to dwell upon. It is the most important thing here is that God is the source of everything that we see, and everything dissolves in God. So that is the most important reality. As we do our spiritual practice, the truth gets more and more perceived. Understanding is sometimes thought to be only logical. But logical understanding is only one aspect of understanding. By logic, we understand the aspect of truth only in one way. It is that there are many, many facets to it. Like by our sight, we can understand this wall. I look at the wall and I understand that its color, its shape, in general its appearance and so forth. But that is not the whole understanding of wall. Whatever my vision can bring is only that much. So logic is one tool with us, friends. Don't let us not fall in the trap thinking that all that we can understand has to fit in logic. It is like saying that what I can understand of this wall is only by sight. We have other tools too. In fact, in our day-to-day behavior, if we are observant, we will be able to see that most of our actions are not guided by logic. They are guided by some other forces which we do not logically can appreciate or understand. It is that why people go to a restaurant and order something. 10 people will order 10 different things. Why so? Many times logically a person will see that this is not what I should eat, but still will end up ordering it. What prompts it? Is it logic? It doesn't have any logical basis, and yet it is human behavior which is not logical. In the books of psychology, there are so many examples of how we are not logical. The other day I was reading in a book of psychology that a survey was given, that it was told that if by use of this medication 24% people did not get any benefit, 24% people on whom the medication was tried, they did not find it beneficial at all. So, how would you think of this medication? Will you like to take it? And most people said no. But when the same question was put with these wordings, it was just same, that 76% people found it beneficial. Then almost everybody said they will like to try it. And now the both statements are just same. 24% didn't find beneficial means 76% found beneficial. But just put it differently and people change their decision. So it shows that we are not very logical in our understanding of the world and our behavior patterns. Our behavior patterns are guided by various other things. So therefore, logical understanding is one tool that we should apply. We should use logic. But our understanding should not get just limited by logic. Why should we refuse to use other tools? I don't understand. It is, there is no logic for not using tools other than logic. It is, therefore, very important to feel that God is our very own reality. I am sourced in God. Let us feel God to be the source. In various ways it is told, just as the waves are sourced in the, say, ocean. So, ocean manifests in the form of these waves. These waves are really nothing but ocean. So let us feel this about ourselves, that this appearance, it comes and goes wave-like. And that ocean alone is the reality. God alone is the reality in that. We can take it or think of it in other ways as well. That it is the tree is sourced in the seed, which is more like a dualistic version. The seed and the tree are not exactly same, but the tree comes out of the seed. So in a way the tree is in the seed. It is, you have to, as it were, open up the seed. Develop the seed and you get the tree. So, in a sense, the tree is contained in the seed. So, God is shown to be the seed in which this universe and therefore all of us rest. The seed develops into the tree. So, God manifests as this world. It is sourced in God. And when the tree is destroyed, what happens? It leaves behind its seed. The seed remains. So, God remains. The manifestations come and go. This is another way of feeling it. These are just the examples for to make us feel this truth, that I am the source of everything. From me, everything manifests, and therefore it is said, iti matva, this is the 8th verse, that knowing this, the one who worships me, who meditates on me, it is, that is, they are the intelligent people, buddha bhava samanvitaha, buddhaha, means wise, intelligent people. They look at the source, hold on to the source, they know if they hold on to the source, then they have all the manifestations included in that. The source is that the important thing. Hold on to the source that it is, and then you have all the manifestations in it already. So that is the sign of intelligence, that you hold the source, and then whatever manifestations you want, you get out of it. It is, and then the sign of such people is told, those who get hooked to God. People get hooked to many things, not all really beneficial, but they get hooked to those. And when they get hooked to that, that becomes the dominant note in their life. They keep on talking about it when they meet each other. And they are of the same mentality. When people of the same mentality, they come together. Usually not only they come together accidentally, but they make endeavor to come together. They form clubs. They form the groups that let us come and think of these things. Coming together for this purpose has a resonating impact. It is said, therefore, that it is better to pray in a group rather than alone. Why? Because you get the benefit of the group resonance. That resonance takes place there, and so you enjoy it or you get benefit of it more. Like many watch the game, they call people, you know, that, oh, come on, I am arranging a football game show. So instead of you watching alone at your home, come there, we will all watch together. Then they discuss also about it, argue about it, all connected with that football or whatever that sport they are interested in. Or they watch a movie together. One lady told me that I will be that movie, but you should watch that while I am with you, so that I can tell you this is important, this is not important, and so forth. So it is why it is important that if you are together, then you benefit from the similar vibrations in each other. And a spiritual aspirant needs to take benefit of every possible avenue. It is for somebody who is of a highly evolved state, need not go for such things, because the mind automatically dwells on God. But for many of us, we need to find some beneficial tools, beneficial surroundings, where the name of God will spring up automatically, where the thoughts of God will spring up automatically. That will be helpful, I mean. It is helpful surroundings, helpful tools. We should not feel shy of adopting them. They should be used. There may be a few drawbacks about those tools, but then you have always in the this relative world, you do not get anything that is perfectly free from all defects. There you have to balance the benefits against the non-benefits. It is, and if you see in most such cases, the benefits overweigh a great deal the drawbacks. Everything comes with a price, friends, here. If you want something, you have to give up something. It is when you want to discuss or come together or meditate or pray in a group, obviously there are limitations too. That the time that some suitable for everybody may not be same, but yet try to find, sacrifice something and get at the same time, and that is a beneficial something. It is, and people do it, like the bridge playing. So now it is people come together, go on a long journey. I know a family very much interested in that bridge game, and they travel all over. For what? Not that they don't have to spend money, they spend lot of money. The plane ticket and the hotel stay and so forth. And go there and compromise on many things, because you have to, you cannot just play you two together. You need the many teams have to come there and play. So they do it, some sacrifice is there. So similarly, the devotees, they come together. For what? To enhance that spirit of devotion in them. That is the ninth verse. Machitta madgata prana bodhayanta parasparam kathayantam shamam nityam tushyanti charamanti cha. With their mind and senses directed to me, that is God, explaining me to each other and talking of me, they are always pleased and happy. And that is the source of their happiness, their pleasure. That not that they are talking anything new, but just admire and take joy in taking or talking about it again and again. So this is the nature of devotees. And this is told specifically as this is the sign of devotees. And so now if I want to become devotee, let me try this so that it will bring more devotion in my life. This is how these relations, they are told. That why the signs of perfect person are told in Bhagavad Gita very many times. That and Shankara comments on that, they are told yane lakshanani tane sadhanani bhavanti. Those who are told as this, what are told as the signs of the perfect person, becomes the indicators for the spiritual practice for those who are aspirants. It is like a perfect baseball player, how that baseball player holds the bat, how he has his routine, what does he eat, how does he has his exercise and all that. That becomes then a charter for the one who wants to become like that. So the one who has perfected in this spiritual realization, how that person's life is, that becomes then the spiritual practice for others. Here too it is shown the sign of devotees, that they therefore meet each other. And instead of talking about other things, there are other aspects in their life too. There are many other aspects. That all of them may have financial problems, many of them may have the family issues, and many of them may have some other health issues, but they desist from talking about it in that gathering, because the factor that have brought them together is their devotion. It is because of their devotion they have come together on that platform. So, therefore, that common thing amongst them, that takes the precedence. And that becomes magnified. That is the meaning of resonance. That particular aspect becomes tremendously magnified there. And that is the use of it. Again, it should not be overemphasized either. Everything is very good in their own limit. Not that this should be stretched too much. That therefore we let us keep on talking about God all the time, 24 hours. Whosoever you go to the street and catch hold of anybody and start talking about God to that person. No, that is not what is meant. It is the devotees they meet from time to time. That is not that the only thing that they do in life. But this is one way, a very important way of enhancing the devotional spirit in a person. And God says, those who worship like this, those who worship me like this, what do I do? The 10th verse. Tesham satatayuktanam bhajatam pritipurvakam dadame buddhi yogam tam yena mamupayantite. To those who are thus ever devoted to me and worship me with love, I give that yoga of understanding by which they come unto me. The Vedanta does not talk of any miracle in life. Miracle is only that how the delusion goes away. There is no delusion. From delusion, no delusion. That is, of course, miracle. But clearing path towards that is a well-charted process. It is the grace of God comes in the form of more and more illumination, more and more removing of the dross and impurities in the mind, lessening the desires for the worldly achievements and enjoyments. That is how the grace of God starts working in the mind of devotee. So, Lord says here that Tesham means who? Those, the devotees that were spoken of earlier. What happens in their life? How are they? Satata Yuktanam. Their goal is God. Consciously, they have chosen this as their goal. But there are other drags in life because of the life still in delusion. So, Lord sees that where they are stuck in life, in this ignorance, in this delusion. And so, what is needed to be done? To connect them strongly with the true understanding. The Buddhi Yoga means that the true understanding, the intelligence is cleared of the dross and they are joined with that understanding that God alone is real, or God alone is the source of all love, God alone is the goal of life. And they get connected to this understanding. And this understanding is very important. It is, Shankara has given beautiful illustrations on this, that how, what does it mean that satata yuktana means always connected with that spirit of spiritual practice. Not occasionally, not once a week, not that on some particular occasions only they are connected all the time. They may not be seen sitting in front of the image or in the chapel. They will be doing their all their works, but as the understanding will be there that God is the goal of my life. Through that understanding, they will be doing everything. That is the center. Like somebody has to catch a flight on such and such day, at such and such time, and that is very, very important. So everything else will be, you know, arranged in such a way that that I will be able to exactly get there before that time. You see the activities, all the actions that the person is doing. Not that that person is running towards airport, but the mind is already tuned to it, and then is looking at the watch, seeing that things are all arranged well, so that I can go there on time and catch it, because it is very important. So similarly, this person arranges everything so that they that devotion to God becomes enhanced, becomes more and more pronounced in life. That goal is held on. And how Preeti Purvakam, Shankara again comments on that, it is not for any other gain that if I think of God, then my blood pressure will become normal. And they is not meditating for that purpose. That person is not doing something that not devoting to God for some other gain from God, but for the sake of God alone, because of the love for God alone. Because of love, whatever we love, our mind goes to that, and not to get something from there. But that is the true object of love, and that is the quality of love. Because of love, it will the mind will keep on remembering it again and again. So Shankara points out that, you know, these devotees are not thinking of God or doing the religious activities to get something from there. That I have the lottery ticket bought. May God grant that lottery to me. And so I will go to church and then light a candle there. The idea is not much God, but then lottery, that money. So the God may help me in that. So these devotees are not of that type. They are loving God. Lovingly, they are doing this. Like a mother remembering about the child. I met a lady the other day, and she was again and again, her mind was going to her son, who was away somewhere. And she couldn't stop talking about him. Many things that I already knew, she kept on telling me again and again. Many things she had told in that hour itself, she was repeating again. Now, what was that? For what? She was not trying to get anything other from that. Just the love for the son was expressing in all that. So when this person, this is devotee, is loving God, all these actions automatically take place due to love for God. Not asking something from God, oh God, do this for me, oh God, bring such and such situation in our life, O God, let this not be doomsday, and so forth. It is that is not the prayers of such people. They are devoted to God for the sake of God, for nothing else. It is so. It is said that what God gives them, buddhi yogam tam, their understanding is cleared. They start seeing the truth. And that is how the grace of God comes. And not just in the form of money or form of some worldly benefit. In fact, many worldly benefits could be taken away too. That story of Krishna, I refer to it many times. It is very illuminating that Krishna and Arjuna, the teacher of Bhagavad Gita and the disciple. And this story refers to some time after Mahabharata war. And then both of them were walking somewhere on a fairly long journey. And when evening came, they saw a big mansion of a rich person. They said that, well, let us, he knows me. Lord said that he knows me. And we can take shelter with him for the night, and next morning we will start again. And they went, that owner of the that mansion, he welcomed them, and then make very good arrangement, was a very rich man, so gave them a very nice suite to stay in, very good food. The servants were arranged to take care of them. That's all. That is, and they were quite happily asleep for the night. Next morning, the Lord blessed that rich man. Although rich man did everything, not that his mind was there. Lord has come, so I should do these things anyway. So although his mind was in his business and all, he made good arrangements for their stay through servants and others. So Lord blessed him that, oh, very good, thank you for all you did. May your wealth increase more. May your all these prosperity become better, more and more. And so forth, God blessed him, and they started on their way. And next morning, they again, they walked. And as the evening fell, they came near a hut of a very poor fellow. And Lord said, you know, he is also my devotee, I know him. Let us take shelter with him for this night. So they knocked on his hut, and when he saw both the Lord and Arjuna, he became so happy with joy besides himself, and then welcomed them. He didn't have any, just maybe a small tin shed or something, and he let them stay there. He had nothing, he had just a cow. And so by way of meals, he milked that cow and gave both of them a little milk. And then they were quite happy about it, and then slept for the night there. He did lot of loving service to them. But he was very poor anyway, nothing was there in the hut. So next morning, they again started on their journey, and this man, this devotee, came to say bye to them, and Lord gave his blessings to this man too. And what was that blessing? God said, may your cow die. And now Arjuna couldn't understand this at all. What is this? That rich man, he did whatever. It is not out of much of devotion. He was anyway a wealthy person. He should be doing that. And still you blessed him with more prosperity and all that. Whereas this poor, very poor man, he poured his heart and he had only this possession of cow, and so he gave the milk of the cow to us now. And what you tell, what blessings you give this fellow, may your cow die. I don't understand. Lord said, well, these are my ways, you know. You can't understand much of it anyway. This is my way of doing things. Try, explain. I want to understand how, why you blessed him like this. This poor man was somehow making his living, had just this much cow to survive by. Said, yes, he wants to come wholeheartedly to me. But a little mind is stuck in the cow. So, therefore, I blessed him. May the cow die so that you will come wholeheartedly to me. So, that is the way the God gives this understanding. And the cow may need not physically die. Your cow die means the idea that that is mine will die. Nothing is really ours. God alone is. That understanding will dawn there. So, Lord says, I give that understanding. Buddhi yogam, that understanding is given as a matter of grace. So, the grace of God comes to us in this form. A devotee expects the grace of God in the form of this destruction of ignorance. Not a destruction of some other things. May my neighbor who is gives me lot of trouble. Oh God, shower grace on me and kill that fellow. That is not the grace that God showers on true devotees. True devotees, they don't care for such things. They only seek the divine wisdom by which they will see that God alone is real. And see what will happen then? The whole scenario changes with that. This is the Buddhi Yogam. The word now is meaningless. Just something in the dream. Just as you don't crave for the things that you just only saw in the dream, or something that is not real, you don't crave for those things. Your mind goes to that which you see as real. So, all other things, when you see them as unreal, your mind does not go to them anymore. My family, my wife, my husband, my children, my community, my job, my so-and-so. The mind stops going towards those things. That is, it goes only to God, the essence of all that. That, friends, does not mean that that person then starts hating the family. It is a question that comes very often in such discussions. So that when this person's mind doesn't go to the wife or husband or children, does it mean that the person hates them? Even if you are hating somebody, the mind thinks that that is real, and that is why hating also becomes possible. And the person doesn't love them, doesn't hate them. In fact, that person really loves everyone much more than an attached person can do. The person who is attached to various things, the love is only a big show. It is the so-called love, so many things, contractual things in that love. Don't ask, you know, you all are aware of those things. How many things which really are not signs of love, they get tied with this idea of love. It is all shopkeeping. Somehow you put the label love there, that's all. And then start to deceive yourself, deceive the world, calling that as love. But the real object of love is God alone. When you see God in someone, then you can love that someone. It is a beautiful passage. Again and again, we have discussed that idea, that anything is loved because you see a reflection of self there. You see mine. That means I is put into that. And then that thing becomes lovable, and not otherwise. So when you see that self here and the self there and the self everywhere is same, you really start loving everything much more and much more intensely without attaching any strings, any demands. The love there becomes more spontaneous. Not with any fear that let me do this, otherwise that person will not love me anymore, or such ideas are not there. It becomes a fearless, spontaneous, true love manifesting. So how it happens? He says, as a matter of my grace, Tesham eva anukampartham aham ajnanajam tamah nashayami atma bhavastho jnanadeepena bhasvata. Just to bless them, I, residing in their intellect, destroy the darkness born of ignorance by the resplendent light of knowledge. That light of knowledge is lit there as a matter of grace. Lord sees that we are all faltering, suffering here because of the darkness of ignorance. There is no other reason for suffering. It is the darkness of ignorance that is what makes us suffer, go through transmigration, get just kicked around so many never-ending hopes. It is, that is the life. There is a nice song on Mother Kali that everything here is vanishing. Only all my hopes and desires, they don't go away. I keep on looking for love, but this earth doesn't know how to love. Nobody in the earth has any idea of what love is. And yet my life is going away, running after those things. My hopes never end here. They keep on tying me. So please bless me by giving that wisdom that none of these things are real. O Divine Mother, you alone are real there. So this knowledge is the grace of God that will take us beyond all sufferings to the real goal of life. None of us will be any worse if this light starts coming in our life. In fact, that is the only way by which our lives can really become better. This lamp is very beautifully described by Shankara. That how is this and this imagery of lamp? So let me quote. It is this lamp has. It is some fuel is necessary for the lamp. So for this lamp, what is the fuel? He says that God sees that, well, how can these people faltering, suffering, falling again and again in this darkness, how can they be helped? Let me light this lamp in their life. So how is this lamp? The oil with which it burns is the devotion, the love. With that, this lamp is kept burning. That love is the fuel for it. And then, what is the it requires oxygen also. What is the oxygen? The air for it. The air is the knowledge that God alone is real. That idea, and therefore holding on to that God as real, that is what is the air that keeps this lamp burning. What is the wick? You know that there is a wick also there. The wick is necessary. So what is the wick? A steadfast practice of control and all the spiritual disciplines. That spiritual disciplines are to be practiced steadfastly, without giving up, without letting it. For years and years and years, one has to hold on to those things. Then you start seeing the light there. That is the wick of this lamp. So, when the lamp burns with this wick, and then you need a cover also, so that the winds will not extinguish it. And what winds blow here? The winds of all the different sense attractions. So, those are to be kept away by a person who wants to do keep this lamp burning. Otherwise, these winds of the worldly tendencies, it may just blow out this lamp. Then it is what is the flame of this? Or the light of this? It is this illumination that comes through the intense meditation of this self, the being, the divine. The self is divine. That is the light that you will always get from that. That lamp gives this light, that I am not this body. I am not this mind. I am nothing that keeps on coming and going or changing. I am the ever-perfect, ever-pure, all-pervading true self. I am the bliss itself. I am knowledge itself. I am existence itself. That light is the light of this lamp. So this lamp will be able to bring that divine union in our life, that the life becomes then full of God in us. It is as a matter of grace, Lord lights this lamp in our life. So this discussion will continue further more and more. Now it is after listening to this, now Arjuna starts speaking. Arjuna has a question now, not really a question, but a request. Question is one thing, request is another thing. Question is that, well, what you said I don't understand. Please clarify this. Or if you say like this, then what about this? That is a question. Arjuna has asked quite a few questions till this chapter. But now this particular is not a question, is a request. That, well, I have understood all this. You have explained it very well. Now, my request is this problem that I have, that my mind goes towards the things of the world. I don't want them, my mind to go to them. I don't want it, but it happens. We a spiritual aspirant pinchingly feels it. This pinching feeling is very important. All others are aware of it, but that pinch doesn't come. That strong sense of pain, that why is it? I want my mind not to go to worldly things. I want my mind to be with God all the time. But still it goes. So he will be asking, Lord, so please tell me, my mind goes, for example, somebody who is a very beautiful person, somebody who is a big politician, somebody who is a great writer, something which is, you know, the most grand canyon, the beautiful place, wonderful place, and mind goes in all these directions. So please help me that how my mind will, instead of going to those things, will be glued in you. And this is where this chapter gets its name, Vibhuti Yoga, the yoga of the glorious manifestations of God. This is another technique provided to the devotees. Bhagavad Gita is really full of all psychologically useful techniques. And here we will see from the next chapter. It is not much to understand, very simple in fact in to understand, but very intensely important to feel it. So we will try to see that from next Friday. Any questions? Yes, Charles?
Is it correct to say that there are like four basic types of understanding which go along with the four yogas?
No.
Logic for jnana yoga, feeling for bhakti yoga, practice.
Oh, you, okay, yes, yes, yes. What you say, that is the four types, four expressions of that.
Right.
According to the constitution of the person, everybody is practicing a peculiar, characteristically unique combination of these yogas. So, therefore, the nature of the illumination also will have this characteristic. You are right. Yeah. Yes, Carol?
With the remembrance of anything in the world as manifestation or emanation from God, the equivalent to our mind going to God?
It's a very nice question. And this, if we remember anything that is we are thinking as manifestation of God and think of that thing, is it equivalent to thinking of God? The answer is no. It is a rather cruel answer, but you see this, you get this discussion many times. The psychology is very interesting here, that when we see that everything is manifestation of God, now my mind is going to many things, and so if my mind goes to my wife or to my child, is it not automatically, because child is the manifestation of God, so it is going to God, is it not? No, it is going to the child, not to God. Child is God. But is it, are you aware of God there or of child there? That is the important question. It is, usually this question is asked with the idea that so I can continue to be attached to my husband or to my wife or to my child and just think that everything is hunky-dory there, no problem, because after all, my child has God. So, if I am having this, so therefore a diabetic feels that even if I am continuing to eat sugar, I am actually, sugar has God in it. So even if I eat sugar, I am actually eating God, is it not? It is. See, this idea is really very deceptive. Swami Vivekananda was asked this question, that okay, so we will have to see this world, that God is in that, is it not? We have to see these things around, that thinking that God is in them. So, exactly similar question. And Swami Vivekananda says, no, you have to see God who has become all this. So, seeing God is important there. Getting attached to God is very important there, not getting attached to particular name and form. That name and form is only a container and not the contained. What are you attached to when you buy a box of cookies? To the cookies or to the box? It is the things in the world, they are, the God is in them, but they themselves are not important, God is important in them. You don't say that I have bought this paper packet from the shop, you say I bought cookies, is it not? It is cookies that is important there, that is what you eat, you just trash the box. So, these names and forms, we get attached to those, hold on to those, and miss the cookies, because unless you open it, you don't get the cookies. It is very important, therefore, it's the answer sounds very disheartening, a lot of times quite cruel. But, well, friends, whether we want something pleasant or whether we want truth, the truth cannot always be made to sound very pleasant. Yes. Yeah. Yes, so do the duty without getting attached. That is the great message of Bhagavad Gita. That do the duty as if you are a nanny. And that is how Sri Ramakrishna tried to practice. Because the attachment to the offsprings is very difficult to remove. So, he suggested, think of yourself as a nanny, as a caretaker. And do your duty. A nanny does all that, but has no illusions that it is her child. It is so, if you want to develop that spirit of detachment, then this is a great tool. That, well, do your duties with full attention. With as much care as you can take, but don't say, my child, don't think that it belongs to me. Then when if we say that it belongs to me, you limit the divinity. It is not that then you will be able to bring the child towards God. It will be reverse. The attachment will be more reinforced than the devotion. So, because you teach more by action than through words. So, when you show attachment to God in life, the child also is more likely to get that message. So it is tough, I know. those things which looked tough, when we start working on them, we see that they were not as tough. And is there a simpler way? In June, I have chosen a Sunday topic, that making the spiritual path easy. So let us see what transpires in that lecture. It is because we want things very easy. So let us see how easy we can make those things. And but they are really not difficult. It is only because we don't want to do it, it appears difficult, that's all. It is, one girl was discussing this thing to me, that I said, well, you have to, you know, you give up the attachment to these things because they hurt your devotion. If you are attached to ice cream, you give up attachment to ice cream. But she said, I don't want to give attachment to ice cream. So now what can be done there? It is not difficult, but it is the psychological readiness is not there. It is when psychological readiness comes, they are not very difficult at all. So let us conclude with the closing prayers. गीता सुगीता कर्तव्या किमन्यत् शास्त्र विस्तरैः या स्वयं पद्मनाभस्य मुखपद्माद्विनिसृता एकं शास्त्रं देवकी पुत्रगीतम् एको देवो देवकी पुत्र एव एको मंत्रः तस्य नामानि याने कर्माप्येकं तस्य देवस्य सेवा श्री कृष्णार्पणमस्तु।